Happy Sabbath to everyone.
Morning, happy Sabbath.
Oh man, that sounds pretty good. Let's do that again. Good morning, happy Sabbath to everyone.
Good morning, happy Sabbath.
I want to ask you to stand as we welcome in this Sabbath hour.
Morning and happy Sabbath.
Morning, happy Sabbath.
Before our invocation, I'd like to share this brief poem that came in one of my Christmas cards. God's love. Long ago, one silent night, God revealed his glory bright. His own image came to man for salvation's matchless plan. Jesus, Savior, Shepherd, King, Lord of all, to you we bring praises, wonder, thanks, and love for this gift from God above. May we bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful you've brought us together once again as your family. We invite you now to celebrate with us as we praise and worship you for your goodness and love. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will minister to each of us, drawing us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And now you are invited to read or recite the fourth commandment.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. This is truly the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. God did not have to wake you up this morning, but thank God for his grace. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. It's so good to see you in the house. They say it's good to be in the house of the Lord just one more time. Amen. Just one more time. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. It's so good to see so many visitors in the house. Amen.
Amen.
This is the house with the open door, where everybody is somebody, and worship is truly a joy. And we pray and trust that this will be an experience today like none other. Amen. You say you are a visitor but once. After that, you are one of the family. Amen. Happy to see every one of you here this morning. And we just want to just encourage you this morning as we worship God in spirit and in truth, that on this coming Wednesday, the last day of 2024, we want to start out at sunset on our knees. Amen. And so we are inviting everyone to head over to Berean for a slam convocation. It's going to be at 4 o'clock. And it's gonna start, by God's grace. We'll be out of there before the shooting starts.
Amen.
Amen. We know God is going to protect his people. Amen. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in Christ Jesus. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. And so as we are contemplating and going into 2025, we don't just want to survive, but we want to strive. Amen. In 25, we want to strive. So in order to do that, we're going to have to do something different, because they say a form of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So if we want something different in 2025, we're going to start out doing something different. Amen. Because the same just won't do. And so we are, through our prayer ministry coordinator, Elder Wellington, the church, we're going to start a spiritual battle week, January the 5th through the 11th. Some of you are saying, well, what is a spiritual battle week? Because you all do know you are in a spiritual battle. Whether you know it or not, you are in the battle. You don't have a choice. And so we're going to have a week of consecration, and that's going to entail prayer and fasting. I thought I would hear more than one amen in the house. There's some things that are so strong on the human heart that it can only be broken through prayer and fasting. So we are soliciting every person to have 1 hour of prayer every day. I know some saying now, 1 hour? Really? Now, how many of you can watch a movie that lasts 2 and 3 hours, or play on your games, and do all types of things, and time just goes on and on and on? But when it comes to prayer, God said if you could have just prayed for 1 hour, you would not have entered into temptation. So prayer, and I know it's suggested by some, well, maybe we could have just family prayer. But no, you know what? Salvation is not a family matter. God is not saving us by families, but he's saving us individually. We can't save our children. Our children can't save us. Every person is going to have to answer to God for themselves. They're going to have their personal relationship with God. And so we want to foster that. And our prayer coordinator, Sister Karen Lewis, now how many of you have been receiving those texts every day? And all those who had a hand, and she asked 12 individuals to have a prayer calendar where you would have 30 things to pray for every month. And we want to thank those who took time to do that. So you have at least 365 things you can pray for just through that calendar. Amen. And so we want to take that time, turn off the TV, and take that time to pray and listen to God. After you don't just give God a laundry list of things you want him to give you like a genie in a bottle, but you're praying that God will change us from the inside. Empty us of the defilement and things that keep us from doing his will. And so that's going to come through prayer and fasting. I know the human soul don't want to be denied of anything. But we have to get our spiritual natures, our carnal natures in submission, because it don't want to die. And so the power of God is going to kill it. Amen. And it's like weeds. It keeps trying to come back. Roundup won't kill it. Okay. All these herbicides, Kwame, won't kill it. But the Spirit of God will kill it. Amen. We have to stay in the Spirit. Amen. So Elder Wellington will be coming around after church and getting your time slot. You know, and every time we've done this, we've had every hour covered. So by faith, we're going to do that again. Amen. And once we get it covered, and you give the time, you ask God, what's the best time in your schedule? And we don't want to make it, you know, we don't want to make everything convenient, because going to heaven is not going to be convenient. Being a Christian is not convenient. Okay, so we're going to take you out of your comfort zone. Amen. And God is going to do something special. I'm just excited to see what God is going to do for us, because the spirit of prophecy says a revival of true godliness among us is our greatest and most urgent of all of our needs. To seek this should be our first work. Some of you might be saying, what should I do in 2025? This should be your first work right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we want to encourage you on, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we're going to start our prayer meeting on last day events, preparation for the last day events. Amen. Amen. Because 2025 is going to be rough. Okay, and I'm not just guessing. I'm just going by what the Bible says. It says perilous times are going to come. Amen. 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 So we're going to be ready. Amen. Because we're going to stay in the ship. The ship may toss roundabout, but stay in the ship. Amen. It's good to see the McCrays, Mother McCray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. She is just a blessing. Every time I see her, she is truly a blessing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's continue to praise the Lord in spirit and in truth right now.
Glory in the All right. How y'all doing, church family? Good to hear. So this is that time that we always come to where everything that's been attached to us throughout the weeks, throughout the months, throughout this year, we can all just leave it down. So I'm going to invite whoever needs to come down to the altar to be closer. Whoever wants to, whoever is afraid to, just come down here because you're with family. And we're going to all pray together. As we all just come down, whoever you know that needs prayer, think about them right now. Whoever you crying for, just pray for them right now. Whoever you missing right now, we're going to pay strength for you to be able to make it through. Because losing people is never easy, but we get stronger day by day. And this is not the end of our journey on this earth. Lord Jesus, I just want to come to you right now, Lord, humble and merciful before you, God. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting my church trust in me to be up here and pray. Lord Jesus, I want you to just touch our souls, touch our minds, touch our hearts. Lord Jesus, as we walk out of that door in the morning, before we even start our day, excuse me, let me backtrack. Before we even get out of the bed, as we're getting out of the bed, let us drop to our knees because I promise you, Lord, it is power and surrendering. We can't do this on our own. Why do we want to believe that? We cannot do this on our own, God. We need you. And right now I'm asking, I'm begging, because I'm a beg to you, Lord Jesus. Nobody on this earth, but I'm a beg to you, Lord Jesus, to give us that heart transplant, to give us that spirit transplant, to give our mind that transplant. Lord Jesus, right now somebody is begging out for their son in these streets. Somebody is begging out for their daughter in these streets. Somebody is praying for their best friend to change their ways. Somebody is praying for their mother. Right now it is a child that has to be a father to their father. It is a child that has to be a mother to their mother. Please, God, right now give those children the strength. Lord Jesus, please open up the minds of those adults to want to receive the message. We live in a world, Lord Jesus, where you might use the children to save souls of the adults. Come on, God, that's powerful, powerful. I just read in Luke, it said, we have to be willing to accept the kingdom just like children will. Where is that happiness, Lord Jesus? Right now, Lord, I rebuke any chains that are tied to people. So when they leave out of this church, they can feel free. And I want them to know just right now, Saturday to Sabbath, when Thursday or Wednesday hump week comes, they can still choose to choose you. When we have failed yesterday, we can still choose to choose you on the next day, on that day. Just because we fall, Lord Jesus, does not mean we have to live in the social constraints of humans. You are not human, so why am I listening to humans? Let us listen to you, Lord Jesus. Let us be willing to look crazy for you, because you said we will never be put to shame for you. Lord Jesus, I'm asking for you to move us. I'm asking you to let us be radical for you. Why can I be radical for Sexy Red? Why can I be radical for these podcasts? Why can I be radical for the secular worldly things? But why can I be radical, not be radical when I'm telling stories of David, when I'm telling stories of Solomon? Let's be radical. I don't care what those people think, and you shouldn't either. Lord Jesus, touch our souls and let us want to keep coming back here. Any person that has been offended this year, I pray for those chains to be broken and let them come back in this church. We cannot let people run us away from our church. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Each person in this world from the beginning of time till the end, which you only know, is unique in their own way. We are no better nor worse than the next person to us. So what does that mean? We're all your children, and we just have to have a little bit more mercy. You died on the cross. When I think about how they did Jesus, when I think about how they brought their kids out and their family members to watch it, it hurts me. Then when I get offended, I say, well, who am I? This man died on the cross, and he still said, y'all are going to be saved if you repent. So when somebody offends me through the week, I want to harden my heart and I want to lose my Christianity? No. Lord Jesus, please anoint us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. We love you. We thank you. This is not the end, and believe that. Let's live these lives right so we can see people we love again at the next stop. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
It is so glad to have made it through another year with the Lord ever before us. I want to welcome you all today, and this is a time when everyone gets to participate. And not only those of you who are seated here in the sanctuary, but also our online viewers, we invite you to participate also. Someone once said to me that the tithes were only for the Levites. And since there are no more Levites, they didn't have to tithe. Mercy. However, the Word of God identifies tithing long before there were any Levites. Mm-hmm. Abraham gave a tenth of all he had to the priest Melchizedek, who, like Jesus, was not a Levite. Now, for those of you who do not know, our church is a worldwide organization. We operate in 235 countries, and we have over 22 million members. Amen. So now our tithes and offerings go to support our worldwide organization and our local churches and our universities and our schools. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and Adam was told that they should not eat from the tree of good and evil, people have pondered throughout the years whether or not the fruit was an apple. Mm. But I'm saying to you right now today, that doesn't matter what the fruit was, because that was not the point of it. Mm-hmm. God simply told them, don't eat of it or they would surely die. Mm-hmm. Now, Eve ate the fruit because she was tricked by the serpent. But when Adam saw Eve, he realized what had happened. She was no longer covered with the effulgentia, which is the light of God, and the ability to form perfect righteousness in and of themselves. So he knew immediately that Eve had eaten of the fruit. However, like I said, he made a conscious choice, and he decided he would suffer the same fate as his wife Eve. The test that God gave the first pair was a simple test. The test was not simply of a tree here or a tree there. The test was a test of their faith and obedience. And so when they failed the test, that failure brought sin, sickness, misery, woe, and death into our world. So for those who might even dare think that they would not have eaten of that fruit because God said don't eat of it, we're also given a simple test every month. Every time we receive income, we get paid. It should not be our concern what the money is used for or whether or not it's used for a purpose that we agree with. God is testing us like he tested Adam and Eve to see whether or not he can trust us in heaven.
Come on.
Because you see, to whom much is given, much is required. So the Word of God instructs us to return a tenth of what we earn as tithes. And as I said earlier, our tithes go to support our worldwide organization as well as our local church, the offerings. So God then leaves it up to us as to how much offering we will give. But God loves a cheerful giver. So he wants to bless us. And as God's church, when we give our offerings, that goes towards the upkeep of the church, the maintenance of the church. It goes to outreach. It goes to all sorts of ministries that our church sponsors. It also pays for, like, our fellowship activities. Remember when we used to go downstairs and eat every Sabbath? That had to come from somewhere. The plates and the utensils and all of that we were eating from, that had to come from somewhere. So if we don't give both tithes and offerings, our church would have to be shut down. We could not function. Our worldwide organization would have to be shut down because it could not function. It could not minister. If you were on your deathbed, what would you give to be restored to good health? You would give everything that you had, if that's what it took. If one of your children had been hurt in an accident and was on life support, what would you give for God to hear your prayer for that child? What would you give? You'd give everything. You'd give anything you had. But God is not asking us for everything. He leaves us with the blessings that he intended to bless us with. He just asks for a little bit of it. And he asks us to be faithful with that little bit. We are at the close of this year, 2024. If you have not been faithful in returning your tithes and offerings, now is the time to square up with God. You can either put it in the basket when the deacons come around, or you can give at AdventistGiving.org. And you would need to click on our church name if you have not gone there yet. Wednesday is the last day of this year. Close out the year with God, showing your faithfulness to him. And here's the thing. You can't beat God giving.
Right.
He'll give you so much more than you have that little one-tenth and maybe whatever you decide percent of offering to give. He'll give you so much more. Every day you wake up, he has given you life for that day, life yeah. through the night.
Yes.
Every time you go to your job and you receive a paycheck, that comes from God. Mm-hmm. We can do nothing without him, but
that's
we can
right.
do all things through him that strengthens us.
That's
right. So I'm urging you, if you have not been faithful for 2025, make it not just a resolution, but a pledge to God that you will be faithful in returning your tithes and offerings. Jesus asked the question in Luke 18:8. He says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Mm-hmm. And for all of us who are looking forward to his return, I say, be faithful unto death. And when he returns, Jesus himself will place in the hands of all the faithful, he'll place a palm branch, he'll place a harp, and on our heads, he will place a crown.
Amen.
Don't you want that?
Amen.
I know I want it. I pray for it. And I pray for that for my family. I pray for that for my church family and my worldwide church family. And so I'm saying to you today, choose ye this day who you will serve. And for 2025, make it a pledge that you will serve God and not yourself because there was something you wanted to buy more than returning faithfully to God. Or you doubted that you could maybe pay your rent or pay your bills if you were faithful to God. If you honor God, he will honor you. And he will make sure that your cup will run over.
Amen.
Will the deacons come forward to lift this morning's tithes and offerings? Dear kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and for bringing us to this day. We thank you for blessing us throughout this year. We thank you, Lord, for covering us And now, Lord, we pray over these tithes and offering. They are holy unto you. And I pray, God, that they would be put to the best use and that you would magnify and the use of them and stretch them so that they will go far beyond what we even thought they would reach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Baby awaits. The It's just so good to be in the presence of God. And during this season, I'm hoping that you have reflected where your blessings truly come from. Days have went by and weeks and months, and here we are at the very end of the year. You missed that. I said, here we are still at the end of the year. The key word was still. After all the challenges and all the attacks from the enemy and all the deceptions that's going on in the world and all the evil that is taking place and how God, in his infinite love for his children, provided a way for us to still remain standing. For that reason, we ought to just say thank you. Can I just worship for a minute? I don't really need y'all permission. I just wanted to ask if it was, since I'm in God's presence, is that okay?
Yeah.
Just give me a second. Thank you, God. Now God have accepted all of our worship. Now it is time for His Spirit to speak to us. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
You guys know this is gonna be good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Not because I'm standing here, because God wants to say something to encourage us, to strengthen us, to empower us. So that you'll be ready for the next battle when Satan tries to come and to attack you. Aren't you glad that you are in a relationship with a God who wants to prepare you? And not only prepare you, but allow you to experience victory. Because the battle is going to come. The war is going to be raged. So the Bible is indicating to us or asking us, you know, if we on God's side, will you be ready? Not ready just for the battle. Are you ready for God to pour out His glory and His anointing on your life? So no matter what take place in 25, you still going to give God glory.
Amen.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's get into the word. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Come journey with me into the book of Titus chapter 2. Notice what the Bible, and come on and stand with me as we read the word of God. Titus what chapter?
2.
Look at Titus chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. I will read the first. You'll read the second. So forth and so on, and we'll read the last one together. Is that okay?
Amen.
Verse 11. And I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. Amen?
Amen.
That's what that NLT stands for in parentheses for those. It says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, be revealed. All together, He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You may be seated in the presence of God. Y'all can tell by the scriptures we finna have a good time in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if not, I'm just gonna do it by myself. Now look, the text says in verse number 11 that for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, right? That's what we just read. And what that means and what they emphasize is that the grace of God was supplied to all of us. It was what? Supplied to all of us. God supplied it. What? Grace. Well, therefore, that means this, that God offers salvation instead of condemnation. Did you get that? He is not offering condemnation to us where we can be. He see us in sin. And he see us just doing things that's wrong. And he see, but what God offered was grace. Why? Because He know who's behind all the sinning. He know who's causing us to do it. Even though we make a conscious decision, but if we didn't have the temptation in front of us, if we didn't have people distracting us, if we didn't have an evil spirit always available in our perception, then we wouldn't be sinning. But since God sees that, And he know it is not us, really. It is his enemy. And this is why he provided grace. Okay. God's desire. God truly desires, brothers and sisters. His desire is so great. So great that he offer us salvation. God's desire is so great for his creatures to have an everlasting relationship. I didn't say nothing about temporary. A deceiving relationship. You know, like some people like to play games in relationships. But God has such a strong desire for the creatures he created. He want to have an everlasting relationship with us. He wanted to have that relationship with us so bad that he sent his son to reconcile us, our sinful. He sent his son. He wanted us so bad that he sent his son to reconcile us back to him. Because he loves us so much, he don't want to destroy us. And this is why he provided grace. Thank you, Jesus. I say it all by myself. Thank you. So he sent his son to reconcile sinful mankind so we can get back to our original state. That's beautiful, God. Thank you. So now God, the Holy Spirit, is pleading with us. In verse 12, you look at verse 12, God is pleading. Remember, we're in Titus chapter 2. In verse 12, this is what it says. It says, we are instructed to turn from godliness living and sinful pleasures. Yeah. It is God who is instructing. What is the word instruction? It is just God pleading with us. The Holy Spirit saying, look, stop doing that. Get that stuff out of you, because when Jesus comes back, he wants you to be prepared. He wants you to be identified as one of his. But if sin is still in the way, God is saying that cannot enter my kingdom. And my way is for you to live with me forever. The Holy Spirit is pleading and is asking us, giving us the instructions to live godless, from living this godless life and all this sinful pleasures. And he's saying, look, I want you to live in this evil world, but with wisdom, with righteousness. And you need a devotion to God to survive it. That makes sense? It's the truth anyway, if you don't like it. So look it. So while we're looking, so look. This comes to our title of the message. Y'all ready? It's called Step Out, Step In, and Step Up.
All right.
I said again, for those who wasn't paying attention, it's called what?
Step out, step in, step up.
Amen. Okay, God, let's go, Holy Spirit. Let's go. So the Holy Spirit is pleading that we get rid of all ungodliness, all worldly pleasures, so we can live in this world devoted to the one who created us, right? So with that being said, when you look at verse number 14, the Bible, you're going to discover, well, actually, we're going to go, can we do it like this, God? Can we? All right, here we go. So what we discover in these verses in Titus chapter 12, go back home and read it, chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, is this. You're going to discover in these verses that both parties have a part to play. Now look, verse 14, and I'm going to go in the reverse. Can I reverse the scriptures? In verse 14, it says that God gave his life freely for us so we can just remove every sin of every kind. God gave his life. And then it says this, to cleanse us. This is what God did. And to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. God has done his part in verse 14. But our part is in verse 12, where God says that we are instructed to turn away from godless living and sinful pleasure, that we can live in this world and even know it's evil. But he wants us to live in wisdom and righteousness and being devoted to God. That's our part. So in the relationship that God desires for us between heaven and earth, God saying to us, I have done my part. I don't need to say the second part, right? You just want me to say it anyway? We have to do ours. And this is what God desires of us. He desires for us to step in to his presence so we can learn to step out of darkness. And then when the time comes for God to use us, then we can step up. That makes sense? Okay. Let's see it from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter what chapter? 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. It says that he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. I told you God has done his part. He has personally carried our sins in his bodies on the cross so that we can be dead to sin, not to die in sin, but to be dead to sins and to live for what is what? Right. His wounds. You are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. God has done his part. But look at verse number 9. Let's go to, we in the same book, Peter chapter 2, and look at verse number 9. It says what? But you are not like that. You ain't really evil. You ain't really like that. God says, but for you are what? A chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's own very possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he have called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So well, look at this. Look what God is saying to us. He's saying, look here, step out of that worldly darkness and step into the shadow of the Almighty. God is saying, step out of these disturbing fear and step into incredible faith. God saying, I need you to step out. I need you to step in. And ultimately, I want you to step up. I am going to encourage you. Can I do that? That's my job. God's saying to us, step away from these people who mean you no good. He said, and on the other side of that, step side by side with the people who love you and who will encourage you and who will empower you and who will allow you to be loved by them because of the love of God is in them. Yeah. Don't make no sense. where you stepping out of the ark of safety, and then you stepping into some foolishness. And then you want to blame God for some of the dumb stuff we do. I'm just telling you because that was me. That was me. Years, long time ago. Amen. Amen. But here we go. After, I'm almost done with y'all, believe it or not. Yeah, I know I don't preach too long. Unless y'all want to be here to sunset. Anyway, so after stepping out of nonsense and stepping into something that's common sense, God expects his gifted people to step up and for the building of his kingdom. Now, don't that make sense? Okay, I'm going to say it again. After stepping out of nonsense and stepping into using common sense, God expects his gifted people to use their talents to build his kingdom. Now, don't that make sense? All right, okay. I'm going to let you see it from the Bible. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm almost done. Ephesians what chapter? Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 11 and verse 12. Talking to the church. It says, now these are the gifts God gave to the church. The apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So there are gifts in the church and leaders that we call them in the church. You know, we got our elders, we got our deacons, officers of the church, the pastor and all this. Understand something, leaders of the church. God is expecting the anointing that he gives you through the gifts for you to equip the church to do the work of God. Jesus trained the disciples, 12 of them, 11 of them. He trained all of them, but only 11 were really the ones that was really want to follow him because the other one had a, Lord, have mercy about Judas. So Jesus trained them to do what he did. If you read the Bible, when Jesus left, they continued to do what Jesus was doing. So the Bible is telling the leaders of the church, train these people, show them what God can do with the gifts God gave them, but you must understand something. It is God leading them, not us. So we ain't finna get in God's way. We're just gonna do what God asks us to do. So all of you that's sitting on your gifts and not doing nothing, step up your game. Do not go into 25, a whole new year, having a whole nother year and an opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence and be a blessing to others, and you want to sit on your gifts? No. What if God sat on his gift and he did not send Jesus? We all be in trouble. Step out of the foolishness. Step into the presence of God. And step up and use your gift. You don't have no gift for no reason. You have a purpose in life. Live in your purpose in 25. Give me about 3.5 more minutes. My wife gonna laugh at that. She tell me not to be saying that stuff, but 3.5 more minutes. So the gifts in the church is to equip the rest of the people that's in the church so we all can come together in unity to be a strong body that we can now go out into the world and exercise our faith to show them what true love looks like. Because they don't know. Okay. So our message to tell others to step up, right? Okay. Let me say this to the people online. Because you all, if you are in St. Louis and you still watching online, and you watching us grow, when God is trying to tell you to come and grow with us, you want to sit at home. This message is for you right now. God is telling you to step out on the devil and step into where God is in the sanctuary. He's telling you right here, right now, through this little mailman. But I'm here to deliver your mail to tell you, God said, bring your butt back to church. So God wants us to step into what is called a God waiting relationship. It's just time for the church to step up. Step out of the nonsense, step out of the foolishness, step out of all the stuff that ain't gonna mean you no good, and step into the power of God. Step into the relationship that is going to be so meaningful for you, so beneficial for you. Because then and only then you can step up. Because I'm waiting for Jesus to come, and we ain't going to just step into the kingdom. We're going to fly up in there. We'll be flying out of poverty, and we'll be flying into our inheritance. God got something waiting for you. Maybe in 25. So this is what God wants to say again. Step up. Step up for your family. Forgive your family. And be the God-sent person who may be able to help them see the light. That's how you get them to step out of darkness. You be the light. Amen. So look, not only God wants you to step up for your family. He even wants you to step up for your enemies. Show them what true love is. Because when you can handle their shenanigans and they foolish, and you know you want to slap one of them. No, that's because, you know what I'm saying? You know you want to just really get into your flesh and show them like they're trying to show you. You know what I mean? But the love of God that is dwelled down inside of you, the Holy Spirit comes out and show the enemy that says to them, there is a better way for you to live. All creatures can be new in Christ. We had a pastor who gave us a beautiful project, and we were successful with it. And I believe that God, anything that is successful, we should cling to and hold on to. Now, the church have gotten away from it, so let me remind you what that was. Y'all ready? There was this pastor, and he built this program. It was called Step Up. Aha, somebody remember. Step Up to Build Up. That's the mindset we want everybody in the audience going into next year. Step up your game in Jesus to help build his kingdom. That means, don't you want your family saved? Even though you can't stand some of them sometimes, but you don't want them to be lost. I'm about to close. Here it is. I got about 60 seconds. The last thing is this. We're about to step into a new year, and so let's step out of our comfort zones. Let us step up our game for Jesus. Let's step up to build up. God is inviting us to partnership with him to build in his kingdom. And this is the reason why Jesus haven't came back yet. Because the number is not made up. You do know it's a number, right? Nobody know what it is, but there is a number that God has set up. And the reason why Jesus hasn't came yet, because we haven't done our part. And how many times every Sabbath we come to church and we hear a sermon and we hear good music, and we're not really listening to the lyrics of what God is trying to get us to. Yeah. It's time to get to the next level. Okay. I'm asking you to do what God has said to you today. That's it. Yeah. I'm encouraging you to do that.
Yeah.
People online, that means you too. You ain't watching us for nothing. God is telling to you too.
Yeah.
I don't even get on y'all like that because I love you. But it's a shame before God that the love of God have been shown to us all our lives and we're still standing.
Yeah.
That shows you the power of God. Oh, yeah. And Satan is defeated. So the next time you have your next challenge, or some issue, or something make you want to doubt, tell you a liar, Satan.
Yeah.
And Jesus saves.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Tell him. Say, you are a liar, Satan, because Jesus saved. Because when I look in the mirror every morning, woo, I'm alive and I'm well. Even though I may not feel good, Percy, even though I may be going through some aches, Kwame, even though our hearts is aching with the loss of loved ones, but guess what? We are still standing. Do not step out on God and be lost. That's kind of dumb. But by your actions, God is seeing and judging. Don't step out on God.
Right.
Where all your help come from? I'd rather be in that boat with Jesus when the storms come. Because I know there's a power available eventually going to calm the storm. But I don't want to be in a boat and Jesus is not in the boat, and then when the storms come and something happens and you begin to sink, and brothers and sisters, I'm going to take my seat. I'm tired. You guys understand God's message? Then I did my job. Spirit of the living God, I'm glad that you gave me this opportunity. But here's the question that the Holy Spirit is asking me to ask you. Will you step out on faith? Will you truly step into the glory of God the shadow of the Almighty, and where you truly step up so others can see that God is trying to save them too. Would you do that for God? I'm doing it for God, but I also am doing it for myself because I don't want to be lost. So I'm asking you, if that is your desire today, to live a life where God is leading you, and on this journey, no matter what happened, you will not step away from God. Come on and stand with me. And give God your full heart. Amen. We don't want to half step. We don't want to be half holy and half hood. We want to be totally committed to Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Come on, choir. You guys can come.
Can I get an amen? And it's more inspiring because it's my dad. So let us stand for our benediction. Dear God, thank you for bringing us this far into 2024. We're going to need your wisdom to bring us through 2025. And we're going to need the Holy Spirit to help us step out of darkness, to step into your presence.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And to step up to build a better relationship with you, an everlasting relationship with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Never, never come short.